To turn tonight to Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. We're still in Proverbs 24. There's a lot. You know, I've mentioned this several times, but Proverbs 24 particularly has a lot. So there are a bunch. Okay, we'll get some passed out. All right. Wait. Did we print out enough, or is there? Yeah, okay. So with Proverbs 24, the way it's kind of lined out is it's got a lot of little one or two verse truths here and some kind of ring together. So we're kind of spending a little more time in this chapter. But let's start with verse 13. Do we want to move some people up? Is that Ms. Cookie? Oh, okay. Well, we have enough speed with spread. I think we're going to start cutting off the last three pews on Wednesday night and moving the... some of y'all back there like, no! I'm kidding. You're all right. So, verse 13, it says this, "My son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste." Number one is this. Why eat honey? Okay, I want to go over this tonight. We're going to talk about this this topic tonight. Why eat honey? Does anybody here like honey? Yeah. Does anybody not like honey? It's always strange when somebody doesn't like honey. Wow. Okay, you may not be getting the real stuff. You know what they do today? Now there's stuff that they label as honey that's actually not really honey. It's like a sugar water type thing. Anyway, let's get into that. That's not the message. Okay, the Scripture tells us that it's good. So why eat honey? The Scripture tells us it's good. That's what it says there. But what does good mean, right? Okay, what is it good when it's saying good? Well, number one, what we should understand about honey is its intrinsic value. Okay, we're going to talk about intrinsic value. That means the value it has that's in it. Okay, first of all, what I want to talk about, we're going to talk about here, we're talking about what honey was at, you know, around 1000 BC when this, you know, when Solomon was writing these things. It was rare. It was the ultimate sweetener. Okay, so does anybody have any other idea what other products would have been sweet? Sugarcane? There was no sugarcane yet. Not at that time. No sugarcane wasn't harvested yet. Yeah, it wasn't cultivated at that time.
Figs
is one. What else? Huh? Pomegranate. Fruit, not as much. Fruit's not as much. And that was common. But think about another fruit in the Middle East. That dates. Dates was a big one. Figs, dates, some grapes. They talk about some grape nibs. I think somehow they would, you know, get it. But yeah, these are the main things. Honey was the ultimate sweetener. I mean, it was above that. It was considered a precious gift to nations. It was something that they used honey to give recorded in the Scripture where they sent with the other things down to Egypt was also honey was part of that you'd send to other nations. And it was also used as an offering and tithe for the priests and Levites. It was part of the tithe. Some of the crops were certain, the grapes and certain some other fruit, but honey was involved with that. So, B, a pound of honey would have cost about a full day's wages then. So a pound of honey at that time, and you say, how do you know that for sure? Well, I don't, but there's some things that when you kind of, you find some historical records of what they paid for this, you can extrapolate that's about the cost of it based on a lot of information we have. So I think it's a pretty good estimate. So see, at minimum wage today, that would cost about $112 in today's money. Our minimum wage in Florida is $14 an hour now. So imagine the, and I like to think of the minimum wage person when you're talking about today's wages. It probably was more median, but let's just say in today's money, you spent $112 for a pound of honey. I mean, a pound of honey is just a jar. I mean, how much honey do you use if you're making some kind of baked good or something like that? Oh, no, that's if you're making a cup of tea. But if you're doing it, you're maybe doing a half cup, quarter cup, something like that. If you can't taste the sweetness, then maybe using a whole cup. I don't know. But imagine that kind of money in our today. You know, would you buy some honey for $112? No. There's this Maruka honey, Maranuka honey. Has anybody ever heard of that? You heard of it, brother? Yeah, I think it's like $50 to $100 for a pound of it or something like that. I barely heard of it, and I'm thinking, man, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to try somebody else's. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, so two, when the Bible talks about honey being good, it was speaking of value, not Heath, but that's supposed to be health. It was also, sorry. When the Bible talks about the value of honey in its health. But most importantly, as we see in this verse, it was related to its sweetness, right? Let's look at that verse again, verse 13. My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to the taste. So particularly what he's talking about here is eat it because it's good because it's sweet. How many here like sweet things? The rest of y'all don't? Y'all don't like sweet things? Something's wrong with y'all. Okay, most people like sweet things. We're going to talk about this in a while. I want to go and look here. B, honey is a natural sweetener. It activates the dopamine pathways. Okay, I'm going to help you. Dopamine pathways. Yeah, Robin's back to like, yeah, because he knows the stuff, right? Okay, she knows the stuff. I research the stuff. Okay, there's the difference. I say things that sound smart. It just means I read somebody else that smart people. Okay, number one. So, okay, what does that mean? It's dopamine. It's dopamaniac, you know, whatever that means. When I think of dope, I'm thinking about drugs. Okay, dopamine is something else. Okay, A, I want to start with this. Without getting too technical, I'm trying to keep it basic. Otherwise, I'm going to bore you all to death. You're going to be like, wow, I don't know what he said. So, I don't want to get too technical, but dopamine is a hormone that is released into what's called the reward-related area of our brain. Okay? It's a hormone that actually our body releases. We've got hormones going all over time, different things. But it's the one that actually, and this is very well studied, very well researched. It's very well, in laboratories, they get these things and they actually do them with PET scans. And when people are doing this, they actually can see what's happening in the brain and so forth. So this isn't just ideas. This is stuff that's backed by evidence, you know, science. Like, do we follow science? No, but what I'm saying makes some sense. You're going to see this. What's interesting, what took us a long time to figure out, God already knew. So B, when we experience something pleasant, it triggers we're talking about this dopamine, it triggers a memory response. Okay, so dopamine, this hormone that the body creates or secretes or whatever, I'm not sure, probably not secretes, but it creates and sends it into our brain, it actually triggers a memory response. It's a really fascinating thing. So, number two, something interesting to note with this memory response. As I researched this, I'm thinking, this is more interesting than I thought it was. Okay? It's really fascinating what the Word of God puts things in here. We think science is so smart. It's like, if you want to really find science, go to the Word of God. It's, you know, we read it like, okay. And then they find it in science. They say, look what we found. We're like, man, yeah, I guess you're right because it agrees with God, right? So, look here. A, after it is triggered once, we're talking about that dopamine, that memory response. After it is triggered once by the sweetness, it is afterward triggered by the anticipation of it. So this is what's fascinating, okay? This, to me, I don't, maybe you're like, yeah, whatever. Anyway, I get fascinated easy, all right? So the first time, you know, if you've ever, I would talk to people. So when we lived in Sri Lanka, and you've heard me talk about this before, the chocolate there was not tasty, right? It kind of reminds me, it's a little bit better, but it kind of reminds me when I was a kid, I would eat, you know, Baker's chocolate because I'm a kid and I did like sweets. I still do, right? And I would taste that Baker's chocolate. You think it's because it looks just like real chocolate, but it's not. But I was such a craving maniac that I would eat. But I never ate it and I never sit around thinking, man, I'd want some more, chew on some more of that Baker's chocolate. Never did that. But when I try some regular Hershey's chocolate or something, you try something the first time you ever, some of my kids, they didn't want to try something. And they're kind of like, I don't want to try that. You're like, no, just try it. And then finally they try it and they're like, oh, I want what? Yeah. So what happens is, but then what happens, watch this. If you start thinking about how many here like chocolate cake? Do y'all like chocolate cake? A few of you like chocolate cake. I mean, like the chocolate cake not just brown cake. You know what I mean? Some cake is just colored brown, but others, it's just like got that chocolate flavor. And then you've got that icing that's almost like fudge on top, and it's just moist. And you put that fork through that thing, and it just, see what I'm saying? The anticipation is already kind of makes you feel good. Just think about eating cake, doesn't it? It's called the anticipation response. It's like, you don't even have to, then after that, you don't even have to eat the honey. After you've already tasted it, it actually triggers, the dopamine actually begins a memory response that now it's in your body. And now what happens is just thinking about it and anticipating kind of gets that same, some people call it the feel-good, whatever, because the dopamine gets you and makes you feel good, so this kind of thing. So, therefore, number three, dopamine doesn't just make you enjoy honey, it makes you want more of it. That's what it does. So you can kind of understand why the number one disease in America is what? Obesity. The number one disease in America is obesity. Why? Because, well, diabetes is probably a contributing factor. It's because we like sweet stuff. It's almost like we're wired to it, right? You know the problem for us today? Sugar cane. You're like, how is that a problem? I don't see the problem. Well, the problem is it's so plenteous now, right? So in that day, honey, look here, let's get to this. Hey, even though honey was an expensive commodity, it was accessible. It was expensive. It wasn't something you didn't go down the grocery store, the grocery store of Jerusalem Walmart. You didn't go in there and grab a candy bar as you walked through the checkout aisle, right? They didn't have that stuff. Matter of fact, maybe it's a little piece of candy. Remember back in the day, probably we don't remember, but we've seen movies back in the day where they go in and they get the 1 cent candy, right? And that was a big deal and this kind of thing. But I want to say in that day, it was an expensive commodity, but it was accessible. Look at C. It could even be found in the wild, right? Wild honey for no cost. Other than to pursue the getting of it. We find Jonathan, remember Jonathan as he's in battle and he comes across some honey. Remember? Came across honey. What did he do? Remember he ate some of that honey. And does anybody remember that story? What it did for him? Yes, it enlightened his eyes. It revived him. It gave him strength. But what had happened? What did the rest of the soldiers say? Why? Because they had made a vow not to eat anything, and he didn't know about it, so he took it in. But that's another story. But the point was, sometimes it's out in the wild. But when it's out in the wild and it's out there, you can get it. But number one, it might require one to look for it or search it out. So you'd have to look around, try to find that beehive, right? You got to look for that place that it's in the wild, because, you know, bees live in the wild, right? They do, and they're there, and they go, we find that in different times it's there. And so, two, it might require one to climb for it. Some places, not, maybe you have to climb a tree. Sometimes you have to climb a cliff, taking some extra effort to get up there. So, you ever had crab apples? Anybody here ever eat crab apples, little crab apples? When I was a kid in the Midwest, what's that? Yeah, when I was a kid, I liked eating food, I guess. And so I'd be outside and it was like, don't eat those because they'll give you a stomach ache. So what did I do? I went and ate them. So I'd be climbing up in the tree. You'd get them and you eat a couple. Some would fall on the ground. You're like, you know. But they were bitter. Why did I eat? I don't know. Same reason I suppose I broke rhubarb out of the ground and ate that too. It's nasty to eat like that, but I do that. So here's what would happen. You don't taste a couple of those and think, man, it's about 25 foot up there, but I want to get one of them crab apples. No. But when you've tasted of that honey, you see it up there, you're like, wow, I'm gonna take the extra effort. But then it takes us to the third thing. It might also risk a penalty. And what's the penalty? Being stung for it, right? Because the producers of that honey don't want to just give it up, right? So you see it there and you're like, man, I'm going to go. You know what? You're like, I might get stung. Worth it, right? You ever ate too much chocolate or candy and got a stomach ache? Worth it. You know what I'm saying? Not later, it's not. But at the time, you're like, as kids, we do that. You just, you know, you see a kid, just, you know, it's just mouthful, and you just shove more in. Anyhow. But once it was tasted, there was a drive to experience it again. Right? You see how that works? There was a drive then to experience that same pleasure of the sweetness again. This is what science tells us this. What we find is the Word of God. Now, look, number two. So shall it be. Let's go back to verse 13 again, though. My son, eat thou honey, because it is good. And the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. And then what do we find there? We find a colon, right? So it's going to be attached to this here. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it, when there shall be a reward and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Okay, so A, the scripture here is not just telling us how nutritionally and emotionally valuable it is to eat honey. Okay? You're like, preacher, why are you going on so much about honey? Because the Lord uses it. Look here. Number one, this is an illustration. Rather, it's a lesson in nature of how important it is to get a taste for wisdom. Did you miss something? I missed what I missed. What's that? Oh, taste. Well, my computer is broke. Just kidding. Get a taste for what you know. Put your own tea in there. Okay. So here's the illustration. This is the exciting thing about this. What the Lord is telling us, what Solomon is telling his son, what God has given this wisdom that He's given Solomon is, listen. He said, eat the honey because it's good. And once you get into that thing, it's gonna be something that's gonna drive you to get back to it over and over again. Because once you get that taste in there, it's something. He said, listen. Likewise, or as He says here, so shall the knowledge of wisdom be. It's the same thing. This is what He's trying to teach us. Number two, you have got to get the taste in your mouth, rather in your heart, for the wisdom of God to be hungered and thirsted after it. Okay, so here's how this happens. So, honey, for people that never, I mean, we have a different society. Miss Cookie's like, yeah, I don't like honey. We have a lot of other options of sweetness here. We have so many options, which sugar cane is in everything, or corn syrup now, and man, you don't. But imagine a society that really the only thing that the creme de la creme of sweetness was the honey. I mean, matter of fact, it was such a great thing. You would talk about, when you talked about a land, you'd say it's a land flowing with milk and sugarcane or figs or dates. No, no, it was honey. Honey was the top. And he said, listen, taste, once you taste that thing, you're going to be dreaming about it. You're going to be thinking about it. You ever ate food like that somewhere? Yeah. You ever think about, so when I think about it, some people think this is crazy, but this is just, maybe it's where I first got the taste. When I think about steak, I think about Texas Roadhouse. Some people are like, well, there's better places. There might be, but their seasoning, when I think about that, I'm thinking, sometimes I get talking about it too much, and we're going to take the 30-minute trip to go down there to get Texas Roadhouse. You know what I'm saying? Because why? Because it gets in there, and there's a drive, and somebody will say, our house, they say, hey, you want to go to Texas Roadhouse? I'm like, yeah, right? You know, there's a drive, an hour round trip, but you know, so when something gets, but if somebody's like never tasted it, hey, there's this really great restaurant over here, and you ought to go there sometime. You know, how far away is it? Like 2 hours? Like, no, I don't think there's food I want to go drive 2 hours for. But then one day you happen to be in that area, you try it. Right? There's this restaurant, there's this Sri Lankan restaurant down in Orlando, and we went down and they got the Sri Lankan food out there. We'll see. We're in that area, so let's go try it out. I tried it. It was authentic Sri Lankan food made by Sri Lankan people. I thought, man, that's good. And so I get back here, and for like the next couple days, I kept thinking about that week. I think I went back over there 3 times. Like, what's wrong with you? I don't know. It's just my body made me do it. No, you know what I'm saying? If something happens when we get a taste. Now listen. The Bible a little bit later is going to tell us here in the book of Proverbs, say, don't eat too much, okay? Don't eat too much of the honey, and that's a different illustration. We'll get to that later. But what I want us to see here is this. You've got to get the taste in your mouth, rather in your heart, for the wisdom of God to hunger and thirst after it. So, A, under that, coming to church and hearing it alone will not give you that reward-based taste. No, no, no. This is why we're here on a Wednesday night, folks. I mean, I get this. I'm preaching to the Wednesday night people, right? But here's what I want you to understand this, and I want you to, this is our series is passing on wisdom, right? You're going to get this, and you're going to pass it on. You're going to get this truth that God gave Solomon to give to his son. He's getting and preserved it for us to give to those and us to receive it and give it on. Amen? So I want you to get this. Coming to church, this is why people will come to church only on Sunday mornings. They could come, but they don't experience it. No, no, no. They'll come and they'll be in here, but they won't really get the taste for God's wisdom. They'll just come and hear it. And it's not the same. It's not the same as just hearing about what God can do. It's not the same. Now, it might be encouraging, it might be exciting to hear what God's doing in other people's lives, but until you experience it for yourself, you're not going to hunger and thirst after it. So B, you have to experience it for yourself. And that's the only way this thing works that way. You've got to experience it for yourself. And it doesn't mean just experience it by hearing it. This is why, folks, you can't try out Jesus. I just want to try church for a while. It doesn't work like that. All you're going to try is the community of church. And that's for a lot of people, that's pretty great. People that don't have community, you come to church. Church is one of the, this is why church can be also a strange place, because so anybody that comes in, they come in, and we don't care what their lifestyle, where they came from, what's going on in the world. Hey, you come in here, we're just glad to have you. We shake their hand off. We're glad that you're here, and somebody comes in, man, y'all the nicest people everywhere else. People run me off. Yeah, because you're still in there. No, I don't. No, but you know the thing. What I'm saying is coming into church, it's a great community feeling. Amen? And we ought to be that. We ought to be that. I think that's the right thing that we ought to be doing. But the thing is, somebody can come in, they can enjoy that, but not experience, not taste the wisdom of God. By the way, let me get to this. B. Remember, wisdom isn't just knowledge. It involves understanding and the use of it. So listen, remember, wisdom isn't just knowledge. We got some knowledge. This is what we're getting here. We're getting some knowledge of the Word of God. It's not just knowledge, but then it takes the next thing, understanding. Okay, you paid attention. Okay, I understand what you're talking about here. But it takes the wisdom actually gets to the using of it. You can't just get it and know it and be able to recycle it like a dictionary. You've got to use it in your own life. And when you use it in your own life, that wisdom, and you find using God's wisdom in my life, wow, it's pretty exciting. It's pretty exciting to experience God working in your life. When I follow Him, man, this really works. This isn't just words. This isn't just stories. This actually, what God is saying to us, man, it works. I tried it. And then, you know what happens? You start wanting to tell other people about it. But what happens, because it becomes something, and it drives you. Listen, this is the, number one, this is the awesome parallel between the sweetness effect of honey and the reward that experiencing wisdom in your soul. Man, it's contagious. It drives you back to that. Number two, when we had truly found and experienced in our own lives the wisdom of God, we are driven to seek it again. This is what happens when you've experienced it. And you get this in your life and you start living out things of God and not just knowing, not just sitting in the place where it's being preached, but you begin to think about it and then you begin to say, you know, I think I'm going to do that in my life. And you start living it out and you come to the altar, right? And you come and say, God, I see you talking about that. I see other people doing it. Let me kind of get experience with that myself. And you start doing that. And Brother John and I were talking about this. I said, you know, we're talking about the altar and coming to the altar. And I said, I said, man, there's something about it. It's kind of hard to put that in some sentences, isn't it? But I feel like for me, I'm out there and God's convicted my heart and I want to respond and God's wanting to move something. When I get out, move out of my seat, it just kind of activates. I'm telling you, there's times I'm walking down that aisle and every eye is on me. They're supposed to be having their head bowed and their eyes closed. But they're looking at me. At least it feels that way. And you walk down, you kind of get a little flush. You know what I mean? You're just kind of feeling it. He's like, preacher, are you that way? And I'm like, yeah, I am. I'm going down. I'm thinking, and I have to push through. I'm like, yeah, I don't care. I don't care. And sometimes I'll go faster. I don't care who's, I'm just like, and I'll go and then I'll be praying. And sometimes I'm so overwhelmed by that experience that I start to pray. I'm not even praying now. I'm like, God, I'm here. And then I find I'm like, wow, this is something that getting, living out what God has put in my life and responding to Him, it drives me to want more. That's number three. It is this experience and reward that drives us to it. Look here again at verse 14. It says it. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul when thou hast found it. Found what? Wisdom. Then there shall be a what? A reward. And thy expectation shall not be cut off. Listen, it's this experience and the reward that drives us to it. So A, is that it drives us to do this. A, seek out the life in Christ. So what ends up happening is once we've experienced it, it drives us to seek more. I want to live that out. Man, I want to live that out. I don't want to just be, I don't want to just kind of be a peripheral Christian, right? I don't want to be on the perimeter and just kind of watch other people. No, I want to, but I'm telling you, people that can dwell on the perimeter haven't really tasted, or they haven't tasted the wisdom of God in a long time. And because once it gets in, we seek out to know more. I haven't used the word addictive, but it's really, addictive kind of has a negative connotation. But it has this thought of I've experienced it. I want to experience more of that. Oh, I want to know you more, right? B, but also, it also drives us to give extra effort to get it. See, just like you would, just like they would climb a tree, right, to get the honey, or climb a cliff to get the honey, it'll drive us to make some sacrifices. It'll drive us. I mean, how many here would, I mean, honestly, how many here say, you know, just staying at home in my recliner and resting after work would have, you know, I wouldn't be mad about that. right? Okay? There's something that says, but I want to get down there. It drives us to get down there to get more of this. And you say, well, I thought that was just me feeling guilty. Well, maybe. But if we'll get the wisdom, it drives us for more. And like, I've got to get it. And when I don't get it, I'm missing it. Right? So, and then the third thing, it says, and it also drives us to risk the penalty of missing out on this world to attain it. Yeah, but you know, this Sunday we're doing this really fun thing, and we'd like you to come and fun thing with us, right? You're like, man, I'd like to fun thing with you, but there's something that I can't do without, and that's to be with the Lord. I'm drawn to it. And not that you have to do this. And if you ever miss a Sunday, you're not right with God. That's not the case. That's a different deal altogether. It's this thing that says, no, I don't do that because this is what I do. I'm driven to it. But you're going to miss fun things. Yeah, but you ever done fun things that ended up not being fun? Kind of a lot. This is going to be a blast, and you go and you go out to these amusement parks and you see a mother. You disrespectful, unthankful kids, get away from me. I just watched that the other day. It's kind of funny. I mean, and just like I thought, man, you're spending all this money. The kid, you're like, they're having fun. I always like to joke to my wife. I said, they're having fun, aren't they? And so I'm going to tell you, but sometimes you're like, people, they don't know. They might think you strange and speak evil of you because you don't want to do their fun. Why would you miss out on the fun thing? It's like, because I'm driven to this. Last thing, number four, you will not be disappointed in what God will reward you with. That's what he says at the end of verse 14. He says, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectations shall not be cut off. So I want to just end with this, Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Let's taste. Once we taste of him, of his wisdom, we're going to be drawn to it. Let's all stand. Father, I do thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for your word, for your message, your lesson. Lord, you've made your truth so flavorful to us. And Lord, you've given us the illustration that we might understand it. Lord, you've brought it down to simplest terms for us. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us. And thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, amen.